Today is kind of an out of the comfort zone day for me. I don't normally surrender a pulpit on a Sunday when I'm present. And Andre reached out and said, hey, God's got a message on my heart and I want to share it. And so he told me he wants me to sit down. And I'm learning in the season of life that I'm in that a lot of people like to tell me what to do, you know, and that's okay. He didn't mean it bad. But I feel like when we come into God's presence, we've got to stop being so dependent on individuals and become dependent on the Holy Spirit and what God wants to do. It is okay to get outside of your bubble and outside of your comfort zones. And it is okay to surrender and open up and say, okay, God, your way, not mine. It's not easy, is it? Anybody else in here stubborn? All right. Some of you are too stubborn to raise your hand. Anybody else in here? Hey, can I say this? Anybody else in here get so afraid sometime you become controlling? See it? It's not that you're a bad person. It's not that you want to dictate. You've been in chaos before. You don't want to go back. Before service, and Andre, go ahead and make your way, bro. Before service, we were standing talking with someone, and it was something I think y'all need to hear. I needed to hear it. Is a lot of times life goes into chaos when we do take control because we're not capable of handling what God has for us absent the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Please write this in your notes, ready as you get started. God's plan for your life is too big for you. God will put on you more than you can bear. He just won't let you be tempted more than you're able to escape. All right, can we get that? Everybody says, God's never going to put on me more than I can bear. That's not true. How many of you have felt like life was about to crush you? Would you slip your hand up? You've been there? Say me too. Me too. Hey, can I tell you that? When we lie about Scripture, we oftentimes start believing the false things. God says he will never let you be tempted. In other words, he's saying this, I'm going to test you and I'm going to weigh you down. Here's why. He wants you to rest in him. He wants you to rely on him. God wants you dependent on him. But he does say this, and I love it. Let's claim it today. I will never let the enemy be more powerful than you. That's what he means. Hey, with every temptation, there's a way out. There's an escape. My plan, too big for you. You need me. Can you hear God echoing that in your life? My purpose for you, hey, you can't do it without me. Hey, but I can do all things through who today? Christ who gives me strength. Grab this, take it. But the enemy will never have a leg up on you. Never. You say, well, I'm oppressed right now. You know the one that kicks the oppressor. You know the one that's conquered him. I'm afflicted right now. You know the healer. I'm troubled. Paul would say, I'm pressed, but I'm not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned. I got God with me. So as Andre brings the word today, I want you to take a moment. I'm going to lead you in prayer, and then I'm going to turn him loose. I want you to take this moment and say, nothing but you, God, nothing but you. In other words, let's put it this way. What would happen if in a moment we could erase everything we've been taught to believe about God and just actually see God for who he is? What if for a moment we could take everything that we're afraid of and lay it down and just see God for who he is? If God is the God that can make Adam's dreams come true while he slept, then what could that God do in your life as we surrender? Say, your will, only you. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Let's pray. God, we love you and we thank you for your truth. We thank you for ministers of the gospel. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus today. God, I pray that this place will be just rattled by your truth, that our hearts will not be able to stand with the walls that we've built, but that those walls would crumble if our foundations aren't you. And that we would be open and exposed, that our minds would be filled with your truth and with your excitement. And I pray that God today would be a call from you to our church, to churches all across, to people listening online, to just live in a dependency on you and to rely on your stability and your faithfulness. So we thank you for your word, which sets us free. May it be heard and proclaimed only you and you alone. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Y'all hear me? Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, so real quick, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Yeah, I got a big mouth, so I hope y'all can.
I got you. I'm trying to be fast and I'm shaking. Anybody else do that? You're like, you try to do something quick and it's like, you ain't got it in you. You're too old for that, right? I can't get it.
Now you're like. Good morning. Is that good? Hey, it's all good. I think it's really good when things just knock you off track, because now you gotta like, okay. I think that's the best time when God can work great things, is when everything seems like it's off track and you're not in that normal groove. So this morning, I messaged Josh and I told some of y'all. I said, bro, I got two things I'm gonna tell you. One is non-negotiable. And one is subject to your availability. So I said, the first one is, I was like, hey, I just want you to sit down and I need to minister. And the other one was a date that he couldn't do, but he did text me back about 24, 48 hours later. I knew he was probably thinking about it. Like, did he just text me that? You know? And so that was a lot for me to come to my lead pastor and tell him, hey, listen, I didn't want to come out and be like, hey, Josh, you can't minister. That's not me. You know, so I was trying to lighten the mood, and he comes back and he says yes. And so today we're going to be, the message is kind of like, it's packed. It's packed with a lot of goodies. It's packed with a lot of things. Today is, we're going to honor our pastors of the house for what they do for us. But also, while we're going to honor them, there's going to be a promise that God has given us through the visionaries of the house, which means that we all get to bask in all the promises that God has. And forgive me, because I am extremely, extremely nervous. I feel like I'm breathing really hard and I haven't done nothing yet. So if any of y'all, the youth know me, so I get kind of like loud and I can get kind of crazy, so just, you know, overlook me. But this is one of the things that I want to say to our pastors. And I read this in 1 Thessalonians, and I hopefully one day I'll be able to teach this to our leadership, because it's really good. And I'm speaking to the pastors in itself. And Dennis, you're over here, so let me just stand like this, okay? And try to serve. It says, dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other. And this is where the pastors come in, is I want to say from the bottom of my heart, I thank y'all for what you've done. I thank you for the visions. I thank you for standing up against adversity. I thank you for providing a place, listening to God, for we all can come and bask in what God has for us all. Y'all have lost a lot of sleep. You've said a lot of prayers. You've been through a lot of issues and whatever, but we want to thank you. And today we're going to honor y'all, because I think it is due that we honor those that go before us. So with that being said, we're going to do like a little honorary thing for them. They didn't know this. Hopefully they didn't pray and God gave it to them, because I was praying that God didn't reveal nothing. Somebody keep their mouth closed. So first up, we want Chris. Come on up. Yeah, give him a round. Come on. Dennis, come on up. Oh, and your wife. Is your wife? Okay. All right. Yeah, Melanie, right? I'm horrible with names. Josh and Jordan. Rachel, come on up here with me. Hey, Megan, can you just hold that for me? All right, so if y'all want to bring it on out, this is something that the church has come together and wanted to bless each and every one of y'all with something special that's near and dear. It took a team effort. What's that one? Are you still? So, I hope, can you hand me that right there? Yes. To the pastors, thank you for all you've done. Thank you for standing up, and I'm going to get emotional. Thank you for, no matter what y'all go through, you still were selfless and thinking about what can I do for the next person. You let your testimony or your trials become testimonies that brings hope to us all. And as y'all get victory, we get victory with you. We walk this together. I'm thankful that we got some pastors, and I'm not saying every pastor is wrong, but I know that this church has a bunch of pastors that is about the people, that they stand true to what Grace Community really is. Grace is given. The first that you walk through that door, you walk into grace, and we're thankful. To you wives, we thank y'all, because without y'all, there would be no us. We thank you for the countless prayers, the nurturing of the family, the speaking God's word when we can't find a word to speak. We thank you all for what you do, because it is because of y'all we get to do the best job in the world, point people to Jesus Christ. And we thank y'all. So Josh, if you can sit that down for just a second. You can sit y'all's down too. Josh is not a person that I consider. He don't like the spotlight. He likes to minister. Don't get it wrong. There's a difference between wanting to minister and help people, but don't want the spotlight that comes with that. So, Josh, come and stand right here for me. Since day one, I sat up there in that balcony, broken young man. Came to youth. You kept saying, hey, come on. And I didn't understand why. You believed in a vision ever before I became a member of this church. And it means a lot, because people can say whatever, but God do send people in your life for a reason. I don't think I would have made it another year on life support. And you spoke words of encouragement constantly. And from this point on, we're going to speak words of encouragement to you. And I'm going to have Dennis come up here and Chris stand on this side. I told you this was for you. I brought this at Doe River Gorge and didn't know why. And it just sat in my room. Raise up your hands for me. Raise up your hands, both of them, with this in it. Yeah. When Moses. No, you're bailing. I got you. Don't do me like that. When they went to fight and Moses held his hands up, they seen victory. But the Bible says that as his hands begin to lower, that they begin to lose. Can you grab both their arms? Lift them up. As we speak over you as the visionary of this house, it's going to take a team effort to walk in the promises and the glory of who God is. And in this season, God spoke to me at 10:48 on October 4th. I wrote it down, so if you want the paper. He told me to tell you that in this season, there's going to be strategic planning. There's going to be times for your family, for times that you're going to be able to just relax and be a husband and be a father, that you got people around you that are going to hold up the hands, that's going to bring on victory, that not only just you, but it's going to take all of us to stand here and stand with you and hold your hands up high. And we're not going to lose this victory, this battle. Because the enemy thought what he thought, oh, I'm going to destroy Grace Community Church. But what he didn't realize was that God was setting up a plan. Just like when Abraham was coming up the one side of the mountain, there was a ram coming up on the other side. Just know that God is who he says he is. His promises are lasting and enduring. That no matter the weapon formed against you shall not prosper. What the enemy thought. See, what we don't realize, oh God, this is what you don't realize, Josh. You just kept divorce out of your family. There's some people that's behind me that needs the voice of the Lord and knows how to go through a battle, because it is the promises that we walk in that brings forth the victory we live in. So this is it. So right now, we don't look back. Tear the rearview mirror off. There's no reason to look back, because we're going forward. And as you look out the windshield of what God got, it's got a bigger picture for you. So from this point on, we walk in victory, but you won't walk by yourself this time. You hear me? I love you, man. So, can everybody please stand up and let's give our pastors some overwhelming love. Round of applause. Yeah, you go down. Y'all can go down. Hey, thank you. Say, now give me the word. Oh, y'all better act like y'all at a UT game. I got to hear y'all say, give me the word. Because the word is what brings forth the promises. The word is what brings forth life. And guess what? We're going to talk about the promises of God. And I'm going to be real. I think this is probably going to be the most realest message I've ever spoke in my whole entire existence as a minister. And it went back to, I told Josh this. I said, Josh, I feel like sometimes I can just tag team what you say. Like, I can take what you say and I can apply it to my life and get a whole complete different message. Well, guess what? God did just that. 2 weeks ago, he talked about in his message that sometimes your biggest convictions will be some of the greatest messages you ever minister from. And I did not think about that until probably a few days later. I was just listening, and it just conviction. And over this time, since then, I won't reveal everything because we're on live, but we got some news in our family, and instantly, when I heard it, I said, okay. Never thought nothing about it. I just know that we are human. We make mistakes. We all have mistakes that we make. But I caught myself getting frustrated in the middle and saying, God, if you say train up a child in the way it should go, how come we are dealing with this issue? And you know what God says? My promises remains the same. You know what? You can preach all you want. You can minister all you want. You can teach all you want. But I'm going to tell you the greatest joy and the greatest promises that you can ever find out who God really is when you're smack dab in everything you've ever preached in your whole entire life. Is God still God even though adversity comes into the house to steal, kill, and destroy? Is he still? Is the promises still? So my question to you is, what do you believe? Come on, y'all. I'm not in a dead church today. Give me some feedback. I love feedback. It's time that we realize that no matter what you go through, God is still God. Depression should have took you out, but God. Anxiety should have took you out, but God. Why do we put the but God? Because we know that only the but God moment, if it doesn't happen, it will succeed at what it was meant to do. Some of you know you shouldn't have been here today. Someone should have said goodbye to you a long time ago in a casket. But God. How come we're not going to grab hold of God through adversity, but we'll grab hold of him in the good times? It's time that we switched our focus. The good would take care of the good, but the bad needs to change over to the good. So God speaks more in those trying times than he ever do in the good times. You know, when you're winning a football game, the coach don't really talk about everything you do wrong. But Josh, check this out. When you're in a football game, you've done a lot of things wrong. It's just the victory overshadowed the issue. That when it finally came up, you cost you the game. But God is not a God that's like that. He's trying to correct your issues even before you get to the adversity so you can have victory in the good times and you can have victory in the bad times. And guess what? And you learn from all times from everything that he does. This is who God is. So this is what God gave me, 2 Peter 3:9. And I was like, oh, this is really good. 2 Peter 3:9. Sorry, Casey. It says, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing that is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessings. I think I read the wrong one. I'm so sorry. It's all good, right? So guess what? In these times, because it's still part of my message, in these times, people going to talk about you. People going to misuse you. You know what the Bible says? Pray for those that despitefully use you. You still got to walk in the promises of God no matter the situation. I think we are in a world now, and is what do you believe? Well, I believe that if you make me mad, I should just cuss you out. Well, is that what the word says? Is that what God says? Because when you speak that vile, deceptive type of language, you're not speaking the voice of God. You're speaking the voice of the devil. And we know that the devil don't got no promises but eternal hell for each and every one of us. So why don't we tell people, or we begin to pray with people? And this is where we get hung up at, is what do you believe? Are we going to believe half the Bible? Two-fourths of the Bible? Full of the Bible. This is a chain reaction. Check this out. If I believe one scripture that he died for us, it will lead me to victory. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Let me just talk to you for a second. Let me sit down because I got to sit down on this one. Let me talk. Listen. If you're going to believe one scripture and don't believe the rest of the scriptures, then you're never going to walk in nothing that God has for you because you only have one weapon of your defense. How are you going to get free if you don't know that he sets you free? I can't say, oh, who the Son sets free, and I have not accepted him who sets us free. Come on now. You might say, well, this is kind of elementary. No, this is not elementary because we still battling the same thing. Want me to tell you how I know? Because the world is arguing within the church about should we wear a mask or should we not? What does the Bible says? There's no division among us. There's unity in us. If you wear a mask, great. If you don't, great. Let's talk about what God is doing while you're wearing it or not wearing it. Vaccine or no vaccine. Get where you get in. My wife got the vaccine. I would say that because she works in a nursing field. And I turned around and I looked at her and I said, I'm going to get the vaccine. You know why? Because division will not be in my house. Because we're going to walk in the promises of God. That's where you have got to look at when you start to look at certain words and or the Bible is like, hey, where are you going? Where is your relationship now with Christ? Are you walking in the promises? Are you proclaiming the promises? Or are we just doing the church thing and look like we're walking in something that we never clothe ourselves with? This is where we're at. What do you believe? I listened to a video that said, I listened to this one video through National Geographic, or however you pronounce it, can't even say it. But anyways, that's why I'm not in that profession. I'm a minister. I just let the Holy Spirit lead me, and so therefore he can say everything. So here we are, I'm looking at this thing, and they asked the question, they said, do you believe in God? Minute, 11-second video, do you believe? No, it was do you believe. How many of y'all think 50% said they believe in God? Raise your hands. How many 75% said it? How many of y'all think 3% said it? 3%. 3% said they believe in God. And one of them said, I believe in a higher power. And then the other dude that used to believe said, I went to church, which caused me to not believe because of what I've seen in church. What do you believe? And the reason why I want you to think, because we're going to get to what we should be believing. What do we believe? Because guess what? The world don't believe the way we do. How are we ever going to have multitudes of drug addicts, molesters, rapists, murderers? Oh, you say, well, those are the sinful people. Yeah, how about the lame, the paralegic, the cancer infested, the AIDS infested walk through the doors and we proclaim what we are if we never believe what we are? It's not for just us to walk in. Let me go to 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11. It says, in view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. This is talking to us how we should be responding. And moral excellence with knowledge. I believe that the reason why we can't speak over our lives is because we really have a hard time believing what is spoke over our lives. And a lot of times we get caught up. How many of y'all got a busy schedule? That's just about all of us. And what happens is the world speeds up and we think this is going to get good. And we think we should be in a sprint with the world. But the Bible says, those that endure to the end. Guess what? Stop getting in a sprinting competition and get in an endurance race, a marathon, because that's where you get your real training at. You know, most marathon runners can outrun a sprinter any day of the week because they're trained to go the extra. Are you trained to go the extra? And moral excellence with knowledge. And knowledge with self-control. Some of y'all been to Walmart, ain't y'all? I know. You're laughing because you know. That Walmart smile ain't always a Walmart smile. And people that go to Walmart ain't always the most sane people that go to Walmart. And the most sane people at Walmart can kind of provoke you to, you forget that Jesus was right there with you the whole time. And it's okay. Well, you know what? You say, well, everybody have Walmart. I have Walmart issues. I love Walmart. Let me go to your household. When your child get rebellious or say something that you don't like and you decide you're going to fly off the handle and you wonder why, please do not murder me. Now, let me go out your household. I'm going to go knock on my door and go over here and visit my wife. So I know that I have, check this out. I know that I have not always been the right example to my family because of my reaction during adversity. And we was not able to walk in the promises and see who God really was because of my actions, because I didn't have self-control and I didn't have the knowledge to back me up. But DJ, I tell you this, after this week, the devil has tapped on the wrong one. My family is not going to fall prey to a statistic or what the world says. Yes, can we all make mistakes? Yes, but we serve a redeeming God. You know what? Train up a child in the way it should go, so when they are older, they will not depart. Guess what? I'm just going to keep training. I'm going to let Josh be pastor and I be dad. I'm going to keep on training. And guess what? Maybe this is the moment where she gets to see who God really is in the midst of everything that's going on. And so guess what dad does? Dad does not persecute. Dad becomes the father like the prodigal son. You see them from way off. And you don't wait for them to come to you. You go running to them because you know they are worth every minute, every tear, every prayer, everything, because it is what God has ordained us to do, to be leaders of our house. And that's how you walk in the promises of who God is. Self-control. And then it comes with patient endurance. Gosh. Patience endurance. Means I gotta have patience too. God. That means when, you know, one thing that I get tired of hearing people say is, they're never gonna get it. I hear this from Christian folks. They're never gonna get it. You know, someone said, you're never going to get it, but you're doing what you're doing. How about we stop telling people they're never going to get it and say, you're going to get it? And then they're going to say, well, how am I going to get it? Well, I know this man named Jesus. I may not have the money to apply your rent or pay for your rent or give you clothes or give you food, but I do know someone. And if I do know someone, his name is Jesus. Well, tell me, you know what? And people say, well, they don't do that. Yeah, they do. I work with kids all day long. And I do it. Well, how do I pray? Well, this is how you pray. This is how you do it. You're going to put them in the promises. And patient endurance with godliness. Good gosh. We're going to have self-control. We're going to patiently endure. And then we're going to have to be godly about our actions. Let me ask you a question. In the last 24 hours, how many of y'all's actions has been the reflection of who God is? Don't raise your hands, because we don't condemn. Just a question. You know, maybe you say, well, I don't do this. Well, where does your eyes wander to when nobody looks? And knowledge with self-control. Good God, I feel like he is hitting me all over the head. Knowledge with self-control. And then self-control with patience, endurance. And patient endurance with godliness. Okay. And godliness with brotherly affection. This is a good one. When that church member get on your nerves, how you respond? Maybe they're just responding because they've been hurt. right? Maybe they're responding because they don't understand. And maybe they're responding to, this is what I've learned in life, and I might be wrong. There was times I would go, there was a teacher named Miss Patty Starnes who helped me throughout my life, and there was times I would just spill all my defiledness all over her. Maybe they're just spilling their defiledness all over you because they know you can handle it and you can get in contact with someone that they don't feel like they can get in contact with. And you say, well, that's not on me. Yeah, it is up to you to still respond in a godly manner so we all can walk in the promises of God. Why walk away knowing that person is still bleeding and hurting? And yet we say we carry Christ with us. What do we really believe? You know, we can't just say we believe this of the Bible. And guess what? There's questions that comes up about the Bible. But guess what? It is up to us to search and diligently search and get what God has for us. Next one. Oh, brotherly affection with love for everyone. Everyone. You got to have love for everyone. Next one. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those who God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. And so here we go with all the promises of God. And I can't even remember if I remember the scripture. Let me see. Romans 10, 10. Romans 10, 10. We're going to go through 17. And I'm reading you a lot of scriptures because guess what? This is how God gave it to me. Like, I struggled because I was like, this is not how I am. This is not what I... It says, for it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. So, if we have openly said it, we've opened our hearts, we're saved. Here we go. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Hold on, go back. We'll never be disgraced. It is time the church stop casting people to the side because they got sin or they mess up or they don't know. Let me tell you something. Even as pastors, we're going to mess up. But don't disgrace us because we're human. Don't get mad at us because you see our skeletons are out the closet. How about you begin to speak to those bones and bring life into us? If you see us bleeding, do you just keep walking by or do you supply help? We're all in this together. If you call me and say, hey, brother, I've sinned or I've done this, my job is to encourage and get you back to health. And if I don't have the answer, pick up the phone and call someone else. If you don't, we're making this harder than what it is. This walk should be graceful. It should be passionate. You should love this. It should be the apple of your eye. It should be the excitement of your day. It should be why you want to wake up. Because you know that you're about to walk into the glory of God every time you open your eyes, every time you wake up from your sleep. Grace and mercy has abided you while you sleep. The enemy could have came in and done anything. But yet God has kept you from everything that you need to be kept from. And you say, well, I still deal with those things. Guess what? It's not God, it's you. It's not God giving you this stuff. It's your mind, I know. I've been struggling. At 19, everybody knows I had kidney failure and about died. And now I'm sitting up here with all this chest congestion, I don't have COVID, so don't worry. Trust me, I'm an overthinker, and I'll go to the doctor 8,000 times and let them swab my nose every time I go just to make sure I don't have COVID, okay? I've had it. That was almost a year ago, and we're still here. And so I'm an overthinker. And I'm like, God, why am I going through this sickness? What am I doing? What are you doing? How am I supposed to set the young generation on fire for God if I'm sitting here with the sickness and I'm dealing with this on this side and I'm dealing with that on this side? And he, guess what he says again? My promises remain the same. That's not what I want you to answer me with. I need you to say, I'm healed. You know why he won't heal me? Because I won't declare it. I personally, and every time I think I'm going to declare it, I think the enemy is going to come in and hit me with another illness. So I cancel out what I spoke. So guess what? I don't speak it. I don't speak it because I think the enemy is going to snatch it. And if the enemy snatches it, then I don't have it. And if I don't have it, then I won't ever be. But the enemy has confused my mind to thinking that if I confess, it won't happen. And if it did, I'll just get it back from you. And so I've been waking up every morning, every time. The Bible says, grab hold of your thoughts. Grab them captive. Cast them down. Every day, it's a constant battle. I'm grabbing so much stuff out of the air. I'm like, man, I'm a hot mess. But guess what? I want to walk in the fullness of who God is. I want my family to walk in the fullness of who God is. I want my church members to walk in the fullness of God is. And if I'm not good, then guess what? Then they're not good. That's why we're going to hold your arms up. We're going to speak life over you. Chris said it best. A healthy pastor is a healthy church. A delivered pastor is a delivered church. A graceful pastor is a graceful church. A loving pastor is a loving church. You know why? It's not because of the pastor. It's because it's his actions that he reflect. And it's reflecting who Jesus is in our lives. And that's why we come together and we go in unity with one another. And we do it with patience. And we do it with endurance. And we don't look at our brothers and sisters as the one that's always getting in the limelight or the one that wants it, because we're all walking in the promises. When they was winning the battle, didn't two or three win, they all won. So as his hands are raised, we walk into victory. It's time to, I told Chris this over the phone. I said, it's time that we stop praying to victory and walk in victory, because once we accepted Jesus, we have victory. Amen. So it's nothing that we do. Jesus is a prime example. If you want a prime example of who it is, Jesus is it. He's in the wilderness. I mean, he's going through it. But who does he put the power back into? My God, my Father. Not my will, but thy will. How about we give God back what he has, what he's ordained, what he's given, so he can multiply it? Because that's what he's wanting to do. How about we get ourselves out of the way and let God do what he's going to do? Because he is. He is right here and he's in tomorrow. And I think he's got a great idea of how to walk in victory from this day to tomorrow. That's walking in the promises. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. So guess what? If we trust in him, you should never disgrace anyone by what they've done. Because you might be the one that's on that pecking order one day. And you might be the one that needs that help. And I can tell you, nobody wants to be disgraced. Go to prisons. If you've ever been to prisons, go to them. I've been to them. I got plenty of family that's went. And guess what? They still didn't want to be disgraced. They wanted to be loved through it. Because you know what? Deep down inside, I think somewhere in there, we're built to be like that. We want to be loved. We want to have impact. We want to be changed, you know, but our self gets in the way. Next one. Jew and Gentiles are the same in this respect. Me and Josh talked about this. There's not black or white. We was making a joke about Josh today. We said, now you can wear a white shirt because Josh always wears a black one. So guess what? We got your back. We was making a joke. There's not Jew, no, there's not Gentiles. Guess what? There's not black. It's not white. Can I just say that? Chris, it's not just white. You might say, well, I see white. No, you don't. That's not white. He's peach. With a little shininess. He's like a Marvel, you know, like, but no, I'm just mad. But look, check this out. Listen, the color of our skins was never meant to bring division. I believe, and this is me, and if I'm wrong, I will say, I believe that when God created color, he created the beautiness of each individual because we all look different. And it brings forth a great picture. If we all was white, it wouldn't be that good looking. If it was all black, it wouldn't be that good looking. You want me to tell you how I know? And this is just, I'm just giving you a little side note, just a little nugget. Don't take this wrong. I think white babies, all white babies are not pretty. All black babies are not pretty. But it's something about a mixed kid. I don't know what in the world, because you know what? Maybe because they got the best of both worlds. And they bring forth a vision that has never been seen before. And that's how we work together. So we're black and white just because we're part of the canvas and God is painting a picture and he wants it to be pretty. And he's using all of us. So that's my little, are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord. They have the same Lord. Ain't no black church, white church, in-between church. All that's, we're going to get rid of that because we need to have the church. No matter creed, no matter race, no matter how, this is a place where we can all look blended together and make a wonderful picture. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who can't call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can, this is the closing part. I was waiting. This is the scripture I wanted, and it didn't come out the way right. I'm looking at my wife because I'm like, this is the scripture I was looking for at first. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? Who is he talking to? Us. And how can they believe in him if they never heard about him? Now, this is where it's going to get tricky. And how can they hear about him unless someone tells him, tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why. When I see that in the Bible now, I'm like, oh, my goodness, he's about to tell us that is why. That is why. The scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of a messenger who brings good news. But not everyone welcomes the good news. For Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from hearing. In the youth, we're talking about I have a voice all month. And says, that is hearing the good news about Christ. And it just don't stop there. Because guess what we got to do? Then we have to walk it out. Faith alone is good because you heard. Now we have to apply it. And so now what we get into, and this is one thing that I wanted to get to. It says this about your belief. What you believe to be true is not proven by what you say with your mouth. Check this out. I thought this was really good. What you believe to be true is proven by what you trust in when you are in need. That's what you believe in. What do you believe? In other words, what you believe to be true is proven in the times when your soul is lonely. What you reach for in those moments will determine what you trust in. That's why people can turn to alcohol, because it's been a proven factor to give them something. So now, as the church, we say, hey, we believe, and we're going to be sent as messengers of the good news to tell you, you don't have to pick up that bottle no more. You can pick up Jesus. And matter of fact, you don't even got to pick him up. He's right here, right now. We can go ahead and get it over with, and you can accept him. And I've learned this, that having young people come to Christ on an emotion don't last long, but having them come to know Christ as a reality and who they is lasts a very long time. I had a young man at the Boys and Girls Club get saved right at the front entrance of the door after a youth conference. And it was the coolest moment in my life. Because he said, is that it? And I said, yeah, did you want fireworks and the heavens to open up and all this stuff? And he goes, it's been that easy? Yes, it's that easy. Guess what? A young man gets to walk in the promises of God because he decided, hey, I needed a savior. Just because somebody was willing. I've always said this, I'm just the donkey in proximity. You get what I mean? Like, I'm just that donkey that's just in that proximity to give Jesus to someone and don't care. Don't care. So how are we going to walk is what you believe from this point on. Do we raise our hands in church and say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus? Is that your belief? Is it when you be hucking bucking? Is that Jesus? You get what I mean? Shut up on a Hondash? Is that Jesus? I think those can be attributes or things that we can incorporate that people just feel. But guess what? It's not that. It's when you accept him and you reflect him. That's Jesus. Because then you believe what you believe. And it's not by because someone told you so. I've told my daughter this numerous of times. I've told my son this. I've told all my kids, all 1,900 of them. All right? Told all 1,900 of them. I said, I don't want you to get Jesus because dad got Jesus. I want you to get Jesus because you know you need a savior. And I hope and pray that whatever you go through, that you'll recognize that there's a savior that's going to redeem you. Yes, should dad get mad, I'm going to get a little upset. But guess what? God is sitting up there. You know what? This is really, really good. Look, I didn't know I could love my children any deeper than over the last 2 weeks. I didn't know. I didn't know I could love that deep. To just say, okay. But I refuse to just let my family just not walk in what God called him to be. Who am I to stand in between what God wants to do with her life or his life? Who am I to stand in front of the promises of God? No, let me get back here and let me say, hey, guess what? He's Redeemer. You can repent. You can change your life. And come here, let me hug you. Because if I'm willing to do all this, what more would my Father in heaven is about to do? Sometimes, parents, we're going to have to love our kids when they make mistakes. And we're going to have to love them, and it's going to hurt. But guess what? What they walk in will be so far better than what you ever experienced. It's only short-lived. It's only temporary. This church has been through a lot. But guess what? We're not walking there no more. Now, I want you to understand, we're not walking there no more. There's a new horizon. There's some new leadership. There's a new pastor. Oh, y'all didn't catch that. There's new. He's new. He's not the same. I'm not the same. Chris not the same. DJ's not the same. Dennis is not the same. You know why? Because we've been tried and tested. And this is who we are. And if we're going to walk in it, then I'm going to grab somebody else to walk in it with me. What do you believe? I believe we are an army. I believe that we are victorious. I believe we are the apple of his eye. I believe that he is seated up above. He is who he wants us to be. I believe that we are a royal priesthood. We are a chosen generation. We are who he says we are. It's not what the world says we are, because we're going to walk in the promises of God. Amen. So strip yourself of what you've been clothing yourself with. And pick up his righteousness. We've been dirty long enough. Time to stop walling around. Let's get together. Y'all remember the video? 3%? 3%. There's a world out there that is begging for an answer. And the church has become silent. But not this church. We're not going to be silent anymore, because we're going to walk in the promises. We're going to invite anybody we can get to church. And when they walk through that doors, they're going to feel grace before they even get in the door. I felt so loved sitting up there and never met not one of y'all. But guess what? It's not the same church. The young man that was sitting up there was broken. Ready to leave church. Then I had a pastor that spoke into me that decided, regardless of what was going on, he still was going to speak life into me. And guess what? Look at me. I'm right here, loving every aspect of giving God's word to you. So what do you believe? Ask yourself that. What do you believe? And if you've had that in your mind, like, hey, I don't really know, then guess what? This whole time we've been talking about just self-reflection. It's just a self-reflection of realizing, hey, maybe I haven't been walking in the promises of God. Maybe I have short-sighted who God was. And guess what? It's okay. As long as you're willing to say, God, I've messed up. I've been on the way too long. I know why our world is the way it is because we've been in the way too long. And I'm seeing the world cry out, and God, I just want to be used. And when I leave here, I want to leave here empty. I want to leave here knowing that people really go after who Christ is. Some of the promises of my family, I probably would never see. But I'm still going to believe, even when that day comes. And so I hope you believe when that day comes. And I hope that you take from this message is you need to ask yourself every day before you spout out your mouth something foul. What do I believe? Is there really life or death in the power of my tongue? That's who we have to. It's a self-evaluation. Has to be done every day. Or if we don't do it every day, we get in the way every day. And so, have you come on up? And then we're going to talk about after the altar and all that and how everything's going to look for this. Great job.
So bow your heads real quick. Let's do this. Casey, I'm going to make you come down. What a question. What do you believe? What scripture? I hope you're grabbing hold of that. Those references in Rome, in Thessalonians and Peter. Go back to that Peter verse and just think about it for a second. Got all this list that just builds on each other. It's like a layered foundation, is it not? And we got to that one where it said, and with knowledge comes what? That self-control with patient endurance. With knowledge comes the ability to act. With knowledge comes the ability to respond. And then it hit me. What do I know? And I'm going to give you this, and I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. I want you to absorb it. What a wonderful message. A lot of times you know what you've decided to listen to. So if you've listened to gossip, you know it. If you've listened to fear, you know it. Right? If you've listened to hate, what do you know? And if what I know produces my ability to control myself or to act, so let's put it in perspective. If I know gossip, what's my action going to be? If I know hate, what's my action going to be? If I know this and it's not of God, then it's not going to produce something of God in my life. What a word, Andre. Well put. And I cannot patiently endure with the knowledge of the world. My family cannot survive the attacks of an enemy, whether that be through temptation, whether that be through outside source attacking in, whether that be through adversity or trial or tribulation. My family cannot survive that attack only knowing what the world has to say. But God, what a thing. But God, who is so rich in his grace and mercy, but God, who has poured out an unmeasurable amount of love on our lives, if I know him and if I know his promises, then my reaction, my action can actually produce something that brings lasting results in my life and not devastation. I know what the enemy thinks of me. Anybody say me too? I hear it every day. I hear it in my own head. I know my insecurity. Anybody say me too? I know those things. By God's grace, I want to know him more than I know the voice of the enemy. And I want to know him more than I know the anxieties within me, so that I don't get overwhelmed today and have a breakdown because my anxiety is too much. But in the face of anxiety, when Goliath is standing there mocking the God that I believe in, instead of standing in my own power, I can stand in the name of Jesus and say, I know him better than I know you. What would happen if we knew God better than we knew our weaknesses? If we knew God better than we knew the voice of the enemy. I'll be honest with you. I believe we can hear Satan a whole lot better than we can hear God sometimes. Anybody say yes? But God, help me to train my ears and tune my focus and tune my attention so that I know you. Knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. Let me give this to you. You ready? You don't just inherit knowledge. You pursue it. You study it. You seek it. You apply it. I could ask you all day long who wants to know God more, and every person in here would probably raise their hand or even consider it or think about it. But just you raising your hand isn't going to help you know God more. You got to pick up the Word of God. You got to get around God's people. We're reinvesting in what small groups are. I'm spending a lot of time every week praying over that. I know others are too, so that we could know God better. I don't want to just know God on Sunday mornings, and I don't want to just know God from K-Love on the radio. I want to know God because I walk with God. I want to recognize God's voice when he shows up to my garden. I want to know God when he calls me out of hiding, when he calls me away from sin. I want to know God when I'm at my worst and I believe he can't love me, and he shows up and he says, let me clothe. I want to know God more than I know anything else. Is there anybody that throw a hand straight to heaven and say, God, I just want to know you. I want to know you. I want to know you more. I want to know you more than I know you right now. And with a hand in the air, would you just simply say, okay, God, so I will pursue, I will study, I will work, I will do those things. My salvation is not based on my works, but I will guarantee you this. The benefit of my salvation comes from putting my salvation into action. And saying, okay, God, I want to know you, I know you. With knowledge comes the ability to act. With knowledge. So I want to ask you this too. I firmly believe that if you want to know God more, that through knowing God more, you'll want others to know God more. Anybody in here say, there's a loved one on my heart that I just want God. I want them to know God like I know God. So if we're going to open the altar, we don't normally do this. I mean, we only do it when the Spirit leads, right? So let's have a Spirit-led moment. Whether it's you saying, okay, God, I'm coming because I want to know you more. Maybe you're coming and you've never given your heart to Jesus. And you say, I don't understand faith, but faith isn't something for you to understand. It's something for you to accept and to let God nurture. And so you come and you just simply say, God, I give you my heart and I accept that Jesus is the answer to my salvation needs. He died, he rose again, so I give you my heart. Maybe that's where you meet God today. And you don't have to come to an altar. You can do it right there in your seat. But maybe you come down and you know God and you say, okay, God, I've known the world more than you and I'm tired of that and sick of it. I'm sick of what the world's doing to me. Or maybe you're just coming and you're saying, okay, here's Bobby, here's Billy, here's my loved one, here's Susie, here's the person I love, God. I want them to know you, so I want to reflect you. So God, would you give me courage? Would you give me strength? Would you give me the words? What do you believe? You gotta trust his promises. So would you stand with me? Would you stand? Would you not be shy? Would you not be timid? Would you not be scared? Can we just do business with God? And if you get down here and you just want somebody to pray with you, would you just throw a hand in the air? We'll be watching. We're not going to impede. But if there's anybody here that says, God, I want to know you more, or maybe you're going to meet him, or maybe you just want to bring a name. Maybe you just want to lay someone on an altar and say, God, here they are. Surrender their lives. Would you come?